Episode 29 of Parent Cast is brought to you by Audible.com. Get a free audiobook download and a 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/tallmommedia. There are over 150,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or your MP3 player. Today's choice is The Leftovers. Way from Providence, Rhode Island, welcome to Parent Cast, a podcast dedicated to new parents, new babies, and their new lives together. So listen and relax because it's free, it's funny, and it's a lot better than therapy. Welcome to Parent Cast, episode 27. I am your host, Mary Larson.
My name's Blake, and I got to tell you, this ain't episode 27.
Nope.
It's episode 29.
You know what, guys? why did I come up with seven?
Episode 29.
So, you know, in our tagline, we joke about it being a lot better than therapy. And the truth is that both Blake and I are put there in therapy with our first son because he had colic and he wouldn't sleep, and it was crazy. And, I now have a new newborn, and I'm probably going crazy again, so that's probably why I said episode 27. But nonetheless, one of the biggest resources during our crazy times was this book called The Happiest Baby on the Block.
That's right. By Dr. Javi Kopp.
And we watched the DVD video, too.
The Baby Sage.
And it was like, oh my God.
The Baby Whisperer.
Yeah, it's like I wish I read that book when I was pregnant because it would have helped me a lot until, you know, I had already been lack of sleep.
The Baby God.
Yeah, so, you know, if you don't want to go into therapy with a newborn.
The Sleep God.
Check out The Sleep God.
My hero.
But so that's
Dr. Javi Kopp. Sorry.
That's going to be what we're talking about today. But before we do, I want to jump into the judgment-free zone. So if you're a new listener to Parent Cast, we do this judgment-free zone in the beginning of each episode to let you know that we're all in this together, just like they say in High School Musical, okay? We're not perfect.
We're all in this together.
Pretty good. Pretty good. You're like kind of in tune.
Zac Efron.
So my judgment-free zone story this week is about the potty. All right? The potty is really a big deal in our house right now. We have a soon-to-be 2.5-year-old, and he is actually talking about poop quite frequently.
Mommy poop.
Yeah, he like loves to tell me when he's gone poop. The problem is we're really trying to encourage him to let us know before he poops so he can do it on the potty. So the potty is out everywhere. It's out in the backyard. It comes out in the living room. And I'm trying to let Reese see that potty is like a normal thing. So
it's supposed to be there.
I have never gone to the bathroom with the door open so much in my entire life. Like, we should just take the bathroom doors off their hinges because the big thing I want right now is for him to see that mommy and daddy go to the potty. And generally, I'm like wearing a baby or I'm holding the baby. So baby is with me in said bathroom. And then I'm there narrating what I'm doing in the bathroom. Mommy's going potty. Do you hear mommy going pee? Let's be quiet. Can you hear it? That's pee. Yep, that is.
That's pee.
Mommy's doing stinky poops in the potty. So, guys, don't judge. Because you know what? If you haven't done it already with your kid, you're going to one day. They have to see that everybody poops. It's true, just like that book said. So that's my judgment-free zone for this time.
What do you say, my love? You want to get into the show?
Yep.
Let's do it.
Okay, so today's episode is really focused on newborn babies. That's babies who are under 3 months old.
Correct.
If your baby's older than 3 months, you might need to do something a little different.
Or, now, if you're having another baby relatively soon, you may have forgotten about this.
Yeah, yeah. So this is really important. When your baby is crying, your newborn is crying, the first thing you need to do is check to see if there's a dirty diaper.
Oh, yeah.
All right? If that's it, that might be the culprit. Then you want to see if the baby's hungry, which might make the baby then go to the bathroom again, because that's what often happens.
And sitting in poop sucks.
Yeah.
We don't want to sit in poop.
Yeah. And so if you've checked the diaper and you've checked to see if the baby's hungry and the baby's not hungry, most likely your baby needs to go to sleep. Mm-hmm. All right. And everyone acts like eating, sleeping, pooping. It's the easiest thing in the world. That's all a newborn baby does. Well, let me tell you, the eating part is easy. The pooping part is sometimes easy. But you know what's not? getting that darn baby to sleep.
That sleeping pod sucks. It sucks more than sitting in poop.
And I don't know where this whole, like, sleeps like a baby came from, because it is not easy. I mean, some babies, like this time, we have a relatively easy baby. She does not have colic. But let me tell you, we work at it. And maybe she's easy because we know the five S's that Dr. Harvey Kopp talks about in The Happiest Baby on the Block. We know them inside and out, guys. So we were talking about what is a really good, useful resource for people who have a newborn baby or who are about to have a newborn baby. And this is the Bible, okay? The five S's are what are talked about in this Happiest Baby on the Block book. So once again, we are not doctors.
No.
So if you're having like problems with your baby and you're like, my baby cries all the time and I don't really know, don't just say Mary and Blake told me that this is what we do and you just, you know, live life with that. If you've got a really crying baby, go to your doctor. Call them. Call the warm line. Call your mom. I don't even know. But this stuff helped us a lot. Okay. And at this age, you need to help your baby fall asleep. Anyone who says, don't spoil your baby, don't hold your baby, don't do that, say, shut up. Okay, my baby's a newborn. It doesn't know jack S, okay? It doesn't know anything.
Homie, don't play that. Homie, don't play that.
Seriously, this baby just came out and doesn't know what's going on, doesn't even know what's going on. It's a whole new world, as Aladdin would say, okay? So you got to help train your baby. Soon your baby will have to learn how to fall asleep, but that is not now.
Listen, it's impossible to spoil your baby within the first 3 months.
Yeah.
If your kid wants to sleep with you in the bed and you're cool with bed sharing, do it. If your kid wants to just be nuzzled up to you, like my daughter is right now as we're podcasting this episode, right now she is sitting in Mary's arms, do it. Why not? Because in the end, they still think like they're in the womb almost.
Yep.
I mean, they call this the fourth trimester.
For a reason.
For a very specific reason. Because they don't know any better.
You have to recreate it so it is like the womb, okay?
Correct.
So Dr. Harvey Karp says that a lot of new parents are mistaken. They think that newborns need it to be still and quiet to fall asleep, just like you or I might like it to be.
Mm-hmm.
I can actually fall asleep anywhere, but Blake...
I cannot.
Cannot. I could fall asleep like in a subway station on the floor. I can sleep anywhere. Blake needs it to be still and quiet, and a lot of people think that's what babies need. Babies need movement, and they need noise. They need it to be like the womb. You think about the womb, and there's the whooshing of your belly, and it's warm and all the stuff. Okay, so here are the five S's for calming a fussy baby. First thing you want to do is swaddle that baby up.
Swaddle. All right?
Swaddling is super-duper key. You can learn how to swaddle if you look online. My suggestion is to buy a swaddle sack.
Mm-hmm.
All right? Don't learn anything. Your brain's already about to burst. Now I'm going to try to teach you these five S's. So skip learning how to swaddle properly. You're probably going to do it wrong. I mean, let's be honest. Blake did it wrong a lot of times. But now you're really good at it. But these swaddle sacks...
I could swaddle you.
Swaddle sacks are awesome because they are dummy-proof. Okay? There's Velcro involved. It's the perfect size for your baby. My recommendation is the Swaddle Me.
Mm-hmm.
It's got this great Velcro. And the best thing about it is that you can do it with your kid's legs in or out. Because you don't want to swaddle your baby's legs. They need to be able to kick. That's how they get out their farts. Okay? They need to kick. What you want to swaddle down are their arms. The babies have this reflex called the Moro reflex. And it's like, you know when you're dreaming and you dream you fall down the stairs and your arms fly up?
Kind of like Inception?
Yes. And you're like, oh my God. Okay, babies do that all the time and it wakes them up out of this precious sleep.
Mm-hmm.
They are not in control of their arms yet, as you can probably tell when you have your baby and you're like, why are they hitting themselves in the face? What's going on? They need to have those arms tightly bound down, okay? And they, think about it, in the womb...
They want to be, like, held nice together. Tight. They want to be held tight so because, again, it recreates the womb.
So get yourself a couple of swaddle sacks and learn how to do it. As I said, the Swaddle Me I really like. I like it because you can even buckle them into certain devices, you know, with swing or the car seat and keep their arms down. So swaddling is the first one of those S's. If you have a fussy baby, swaddle that sucker. Okay? They're flailing around. Occasionally, I mean, Blake is a tried and true dad. This is his second kid. Every once in a while, I hand him our fussy baby and he just starts bouncing her and her arms are flying. She's on her back and he's like waving her around thinking, oh, this is going to be great. And I'm like, babe, her arms are flying around. Swaddle that, babe. And he does. And what happens?
She goes to sleep.
Okay.
Immediately. So, and even if you don't have the Swaddle Me, just hold her arms kind of like she's in a coffin almost.
Yes.
And just hold them there for a little bit. and then she'll relax. She'll yep. calm down eventually.
Keep those arms down.
Keep the arms down.
All right. So the second of the S's is the side stomach position. All right. And this sounds a little scary because you're like, what?
What the hell's a side stomach position? I'm supposed to put them on their back.
Yeah. Everything is back is best. Back is best. I get it. I don't like to sleep on my back.
I hate the back.
I like to sleep on my side.
I'm a side person.
So we're not saying put your baby on the stomach and have the baby sleep, but we are saying that to help soothe your baby while you're holding this baby, you can hold them kind of belly to belly. So if you're holding your babe and the baby's all swaddled up, kind of hold them in your arms so their belly's facing you. Mm-hmm. Or even put them kind of like in a football hold, so that their belly is on your arm, mm-hmm. and you get to hold them with their face down.
The football hold's good for guys. Mm-hmm. The football hold for guys rocks because, you know, you feel like you got the football on your hands, and the kid's light enough and small enough where you can grip it like you're trugging down the 100-yard mark, you know, and scoring a touchdown. You can totally do that, and it's comfy for guys. I like it a lot.
Yeah. So, you know, just be careful. We're not saying put the baby on the sleep for on their tummy for sleep.
No. Not the tummy for sleep. The back is for sleep, even though it sucks. You know, I'm also a kind of guy that like kind of does like a half hip kind of thing.
Oh, yeah.
Where, you know, where I keep my leg up.
Yeah.
No, you don't think so?
No, I get you. I see you. So I personally like to have my baby on her side, and that's how I hold her and help her get to sleep, whether I'm sitting in a chair or something, but that's how I like to calm the baby down. She doesn't like to be on her back when she's being calmed.
Oh, yeah, and for guys, this is good, too, because if, like, you're stuck at home with the kid because, you know, you want your wife or your partner to go out and enjoy themselves, which you should be doing often, take your shirt off, man. Take the shirt off. And let them smell you. Let the baby, not your wife. That'd be kind of, actually, never mind. I'll just let that
You're
one go.
You're just trying to say get some skin to skin,
get some
right?
skin to skin. Okay. And get them laying next to you on the bed, sideways, like on their side. And then they'll calm down. I swear to God, this will happen.
It's like the reverse spoon, if that makes sense. So lie down, shirtless, have that baby in just a diaper. Maybe get a little swaddle to put, if you wanted to swaddle. But you can either do it, if you wanted to skip the swaddle spot, if you wanted some skin to skin, do the skin to skin on the side. Mm-hmm. If you want to just lie side to side with the swaddle, just make sure that you do not fall asleep. Okay, you don't want that baby falling asleep side to side with you
That's
in a
no
swaddle.
Good. Can't have that.
And you never want the baby asleep on his or her side in a swaddle.
Yep.
Okay? So that's really important. I know it sounds weird because it's like swaddle, but put them on their side. It's
but don't put them on their
this
side.
This is while you are with them, while you're with them trying to calm them down. All right, so the third S is shushing.
Shushing.
Okay, shushing, like that's
what's
something
shushing?
That's, shushing is going
shh.
Okay, so you want to get up in your baby's ear. You don't want to just lightly say shh. Remember, babies like it to be noisy. So I guess they said that the sounds of our womb were as noisy as you being in a shower.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
So if you think about that level of noise, what it's like when you're in the shower and what it sounds like with the water, I mean, it's not loud, but it's not quiet.
No, it ain't quiet.
So
I don't think you could sleep in the shower. Well, although I've slept in the shower before.
Well, the shower is now like white noise. So you want to shush that loud straight into your baby's ear.
Yeah, in like because if your baby is really hollering big time, like really going at it, the baby isn't going to hear you going, shh, it's okay, honey.
Be quiet.
You got to kind of be like, shh.
Okay, you just hurt people's ears, but yes.
I backed away, you know?
And you want to do it for almost like 5 seconds at a time. Strong. It's basically kind of trying to jumpstart the baby. Because if the baby's really fussing and crying, you want something to almost startle them out of that cry. They're just so pent up and anxious about their cry. You want to get in their ear and calm them down with a familiar sound. Okay, so you can either be doing that as shushing, or if you don't want to, you know, turn red because you run out of breath.
No, purple.
You can get different apps on your phone. You can get white noise machines.
What's the one that we had? The sleep pillow.
Yes.
That's
it's
what
like
we
this
have.
Beautiful little owl. That's our favorite app, the sleep pillow.
That's a good recommendation.
And
the sleep pillow.
I like the sleep pillow app because it doesn't have a timer. We also have the sleep sheep, like the travel sleep sheep. The problem with that is it only goes for 45 minutes. Mm-hmm. So you kind of want to have consistent white noise while your baby sleeps. So you get the shushing while you're holding them. You can be doing that. But when you finally do get the baby to sleep, try to keep that white noise going. So get yourself a white noise machine for their bedroom, or just stick your phone app next to their head while they're sleeping.
And don't worry about the white noise like deafening your kid. Because there was like this movement going around there for a while, like, oh, white noise, if it's played too loud, it's going to make your kid deaf. No, it's not. It's just not. I mean, don't go playing it at 45 billion decibels. Yes, that would probably deafen your kid. But for the most part, within reason, play the white noise and it will not make your kid go deaf. I promise.
Okay, so you've swaddled your baby. The baby is on his or her side and you're holding and you're shushing. The next thing you want to do is get in the swinging.
Oh, I love the swing.
Okay.
Huge fan of the swing.
You can either put the baby in an actual swing. Mm-hmm. All right, which now the baby's on his or her back. Maybe the swing has some white noise. But really think about the swinging in your arms, okay?
Yep. Get
in
motion.
This is like the money right here. Swaddling and swinging. Swinging is going to get your baby to sleep. That's why babies fall asleep a lot in the car, mm-hmm. because of the movement. Think about it. They slept so much in the mother's womb because they were being moved around a lot. So you want to do some like quick, jiggly, very tiny movements, no more than like 1 inch back and
forth. You're actually doing it right now.
I know, because it's keeping her asleep. So you want to do like little jiggle movements. I often want, like right now, she's belly to belly with me in a swaddle, and I love to just take her bum and shake her bum, because you want their head to move a little bit back and forth, actually, and that doesn't always get accomplished in the swing.
And we're not talking shaking, we're talking jiggling.
Yeah, you want a jiggle head.
You don't want a shaking head, because that shaking baby said that ain't no good.
Yeah,
just a slight little movement in the bum, or so that her head is just jiggling a little bit. Like take a couple of ball, like a golf ball, and jiggle it in your hand or something. Mm-hmm. That is the kind of movement we're talking about.
So it's just really like a quick little rocking, an inch or so back and forth with your hands, and keeping that baby straight to your belly for that side. And the swinging is going to help. And then if you want to transition this to a baby swing so that there's still movement, mm-hmm. awesome.
Get
awesome.
That swing and put that baby on freak. Max.
Yes. The put that, best like, movement. The bigger the movement, the better.
If there's like a number five setting, put it on the five. If there's like a 10 setting, get it on 10. And then push that baby. And what I even do too is like we have the rock and play. I'll even get the rock and play and I'll do really quick movements.
You'll do the little inch movements in the rock and
play. In the rock and play with it too. So that way like I don't have to hold her or do whatever. I can do it all at once. And now, that's the way that I do it. But get that swing moving as fast as you can.
So as Blake said, I'm actually doing the swinging right now and I'm sitting in a stationary chair. This is a midday nap, so it's not too rough to get her to sleep. But if this was the witching hour time, which is really tough on babies.
Painful.
And the reason it's so tough
on babies, it's tough on me.
Yeah, but they've been overstimulated.
Okay? I'm overstimulated.
They are new to this world, as I said, a whole new world for them. And they've been soaking it up from morning till now night, and they just can't take it anymore. I just can't take it, they want to say, but they can't, so they just cry. And they're often up for a longer period. So if it's the witching hour time, get yourself a yoga ball.
Mm-hmm. Oh, this is the best piece of advice we could ever offer.
You probably have the yoga ball because you were maybe using it towards the lighter part of your pregnancy to make sure the baby's in the right position and to help with labor pains. But get yourself a big yoga ball, swaddle that baby, hold that baby belly to belly on its side, and bounce. Okay?
Bounce,
you are going to be moving that baby and they are going to calm down. You can shush in that baby's ear and it will make you feel good too, because you might be a little anxious at this point. You mm-hmm. might have been a little fed up. It's the end of the day. Just bounce. Put it all out in your quads. All right? And you're going to put that baby to sleep. Now, if your baby is tough after you stop moving, put that baby in a swing. All right?
Like immediately, as fast as you can. And if you still have to bounce, with Reese, our first child, I bounced on a yoga ball for hours on end. I would watch full movies bouncing on a yoga ball. I think I watched The Dark Knight and The Dark Knight Rises in one sitting while bouncing on a yoga ball. But you know what? That's what I had to do. And trust me, if my son Reese can go to sleep while I'm bouncing on a yoga ball, your kid can too. because my son was a giant pain in the butt.
And okay, so there's also some controversy. So I'm talking about swinging. I'm talking about how you're going to be shaking this baby a little bit, jiggling this baby, going on the bouncing ball, using the swing. If you need your baby to be in a swing overnight, put your baby in a swing overnight. Move that swing into your room. Now, mind you, I'm talking about newborn time.
Mm-hmm.
This is the first 3 months. And if your baby needs that movement to stay asleep, and if it means that you're going to get a good chunky sleep period, like a good 5-6 hours in a row. Oh, doesn't that sound amazing? It can
great.
Happen. Why are you squeaking, Sophie the giraffe?
I didn't mean to do it.
She squeaks. That's what Sophie does. Get yourself that swing and put it in your bedroom. It took us a long time to figure this out. And we were like, is this okay? Is he always going to sleep in the swing? No.
No, they're not.
He's not going to be some 15-year-old sitting in a swing.
Hey, Mom, can I go in my swing, please?
But sleep is what your baby needs. They need it to reset their bodies. You need it as a new parent so you don't go crazy and need to have therapy, like we say in our introduction. Okay, everybody needs sleep. So if your baby really thrives on movement, we're not going to judge you, okay? Mm-hmm. Do what works best for your family.
Judgment-free zone, baby.
That's right. Put your baby in that swing if you need to and let them swing all night. And you know what? A lot of those swings have white noise on them.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing. All right. So we have for the S's, we have swaddle.
Yep.
Side stomach position.
Done.
Shushing.
Nailed it.
Swinging.
Bring it.
And the fifth S is sucking.
I'm just going to leave it alone.
I just hate that word. Sucking.
Sucking.
Anyway, so we all know babies suck. They have to suck to eat, all right?
Mm-hmm.
They will suck on a bottle. They will suck on a breast. Oh,
they'll suck on your finger?
Right now? They could suck on a clean finger. That's right. Pacifiers. All right. So if you are breastfeeding or bottle feeding, a lot of people might say, oh, don't give them a pacifier until they are eating very well. That's true. Okay? So sometimes they give it to you in the hospital. They'll tell you, like, your baby's doing a great job eating. If you have any concerns, you might want to wait with the pacifiers. Once things have gone well, like, my baby is an excellent feeder. By now, we've got a great rhythm going, and she loves to suck, okay, but not to eat. And I realized this because she would eat, and then she would suck, 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 and just spit all the breast milk out.
And
I was like,
cry a little bit.
Yeah, I'm like, this girl just wants to suck. She doesn't want to eat anymore. She already ate, but if she sucks on my breast, it's going to, you know, drown her in milk. So after she's done and she's starting to get into that nice sleepy phase, I just sneak the pacifier in her mouth and she sucks away until she falls asleep. It is amazing. Now, some people say that bedtime pacifiers help reduce SIDS.
Oh.
Now, mind you, most SIDS occur between 2 and 6 months. So I still don't really get SIDS. It's Southern Infant Death Syndrome. It's like the scariest freaking thing to worry about as a parent.
Like, that's almost the reason why I didn't want to have a second kid. Because SIDS is like,
you just don't know why.
There's no reason.
I think it's actually just a huge general term.
Like colic is. Colic is a huge general term.
But they do say that having a pacifier can help reduce SIDS. So that's another reason to take on the sucking. But say you're without a pacifier and, you know, try to see if you are breastfeeding, just see if the boob will help. All right. Or use like the knuckle of your clean finger. Mm-hmm. Always make sure your fingers are clean, of course. But grab yourself a couple of different pacifiers. Try them out. These are the 5 S's. It is going to be a game changer for you.
So in review, the 5 S's are swaddling. We got that done. The side or stomach position. Got that done. Swinging. Get that kid in a swing or go on a yoga ball and just go to town as fast as you can. Shushing, getting in the air, going shh, and then sucking, whether it's a pacifier or a clean finger or a nipple, whatever you got going on, whatever you like, whatever the kid likes, get them to suck that thing. If you do, I swear to all that is living and dead, if you do all these 5 S's all at once, no matter how much your kid is crying, no matter how frustrated you are, no matter how much you want to go to bed, I promise you, your kid will stop crying.
And each kid is going to have a favorite one of these S's. Like, for Reese, he loved the movement. He needed that swinging. Mm-hmm. That's why Blake was on the yoga ball forever. But that was
hours.
What he needed. Felicity, she likes to be on the side.
And she likes the sucking, too.
Yes.
She loves the sucking.
So you're going to find out. And so sometimes you can cheat. You might not have to do all 5.
Correct.
If you find the ones that, like, really get your kid going.
But the nuclear option...
Just do all five.
Just do all five all
and
at
luckily,
once.
And luckily, if you remember the five S's, even if you're very sleep deprived, if you're having your hormonal baby blues, if you're starving because you forgot to eat and you're like, how do I make my baby stop crying? Oh, yeah. Mary and Blake.
The five S's.
Five S's. Dr. Karp.
Dr. Javi Karp. From
side stomach.
The man's my hero.
Swinging, shushing, and sucking. So we hope this helps you guys because it sure did help us. So we spent the whole episode talking about how to make your non-sleeping kid sleep and calm down. I think we definitely need time for your whine of the week.
Let's whine about it. Okay, ready? Here's my whine because it's my turn this week, I think. Listen, I love my son. He's great. But now he's starting to get his own opinions. He's starting to like say, I want this or I want that. And I can't tell you how freaking frustrating that is.
This is just the beginning.
Oh my God.
Wait, because it gets worse.
So he'll tell me, like, we wake up in the morning. I get up with him at like 5:30 in the morning, 6 o'clock in the morning or once in a while. And together we lay down on the couch together. It's like good, fun bonding time. I really love doing it. As a matter of fact, when we got back from Texas this past weekend, the first thing he asked me for was to lay down with me on this couch. It was great. And normally what I do is I'll put on a show like Little Einsteins or whatever, and he'll watch it, and maybe I'll catch a little extra Z's as he's watching it. But now, the little dingleberry, he's like, I want to watch Little Einsteins. And then we'll watch one episode, about like 10 minutes into it, he'll say, no, I want to watch Mickey. I'm like, no, okay, all right, I'll put Mickey on. And then about 10 minutes into Mickey, no, I want to watch Chuggington. And I'm like, hell no. No, you just said Mickey. And before that, you said Little Einsteins. What are we doing? Stop having an opinion. Stop having a brain. Just watch what I'm telling you to watch. Will you do that for me, will you? And he doesn't want to do it. And it's not just television.
No.
It's foods. It's shoes. It's clothes. He didn't want to wear a Mickey shirt the other day because he wanted another shirt. I don't want this. No, different. Different. He's signing different, whatever
he
the sign is.
He signs and says it. Yep.
It drives me
I'm
insane.
Really happy that he understands different.
And then, like, he also does it with music, too. I'll put on a certain soundtrack that he likes. And he'll say, no, I want Batman music. So I'll have to put on the soundtrack to The Dark Knight Rises. Or he'd be like, no, I want balloons. And I'll put on the soundtrack to Up. He's turning into a person. And I'm having a hard time with this. I got to tell you.
Well, I hate to tell you this, but all the people who have toddlers, they're sitting there shaking their head saying, Blake, you ain't seen nothing yet.
Oh, my God. My love, what's your win?
My win of this week is that we went to a conference in Texas.
Hi-yo.
And our baby didn't fuss. Didn't fuss. She fussed maybe like once. Now, this was a weekend-long conference, guys. And I was taking a gamble, taking a 8-week-old, you know, from Rhode Island to Texas on a plane. And my trick
on a plane. 4 hours, by the way.
I know that everyone says you want to nurse during takeoff and landing. I did one up better than that. I not only nursed, but I kept my nipple out. I'm being honest. I kept my nipple out.
Your judgment-free zone.
All right? I should have.
Just waving your boobies around.
I just kept it out. Now, mind you, it was always my inner nipple. So hopefully it was away from other people. I sat on the window and I just kind of like, you know.
Classy turned, broad.
Whatever. My baby smelled. I like kept the pacifier in her mouth and she like, I think she thought it was my nipple the whole time.
Oh,
it wasn't. But I put the pacifier in her mouth and she just had that mommy smell and she was quiet. And it was great because the plane was full of tons of babies, both there and back. And everyone else's babies got the glares and our baby didn't. And then even during the conference, I did keep the nipples in during the conference.
Thank
that
God.
Would have been awkward. But I wore her in three different carriers, actually. I had her in the Moby wrap a little bit. I had her in a Sakura Bloom ring sling. And then I also had her in the Beko Gemini carrier. We just mixed it all up, you know, tried different things throughout the weekend. But she was amazing and literally slept like the entire time. So that's just my win that it is possible to get out and do things with your baby. Now, mind you, we could have never done this with our son.
No, hell no.
Our son wouldn't even let us leave the state of Rhode Island. Okay. You can drive through the entire
state. We couldn't even leave the neighborhood.
No, we couldn't leave Providence. He would just scream. So if you do have a decent baby, don't be afraid. You know, put that baby in some kind of baby wearing device and get out there and see what you can do.
Go to Texas. You know, get some barbecue.
You'll feel like a human again. Oh my gosh, it's like that song from Beauty and the Beast. Human again, we'll be human again.
Nope. Oh. I got nothing.
My Broadway friends will know what's up.
All right, so it's my parent pick this week, I think.
I want to do one too.
You're doing one too?
But go for it.
I'm going first. Ready?
Yeah.
Because hopefully I'm stealing yours. My parent pick is the Sleep Pillow app. Did I steal it?
No.
Damn. Okay, never mind. It is the Sleep Pillow app. I think you can get it on iPhone, and I think you can get it on Droid as well. And it will provide you this endless white noise. We've already mentioned this. In the shushing portion of our show. But you can get it, and it is freaking awesome. They have like a whole bunch of different settings, all different kinds of sounds. Like, you like whales, cool. If you like the sound of thunder, better. Okay, if you want raindrops, cool. You want ocean, they got that too. And it just, it's on your phone, and you can have it anywhere you go. So it's called the Sleep Pillow app. And that's what it's for. That's my parent pick. Girl, what do you got?
My parent pick is a new type of pacifier that I hadn't used the first time with my first baby. It's by this company named MAM, M-A-M.
I know.
And, you know, we've tried different pacifiers with Felicity, and she just kept spitting them out. And I'm like, girl, sucking is one of the S's. You better learn how to suck on something else other than me, because I can't handle this. And MAM has a shape that seems to be pleasing to her palate. So go out and try different pacifiers for your baby. But MAM, the newborn ones, she digs it.
My love, before we close up today's show, I just wanted to say one thing. And this, I'm kind of going off the cuff here. This is not on our Gmail, on our Google document that we share. So you are probably just as surprised as our listeners right now. I wrote I wrote an article on Mary's blog, tallmomtinybaby.com. Yeah, it's a shameless plug. If you go to tallmomtinybaby.com, you can look up Tall Dad, and you'll see an article that I wrote recently within the past week or so ago, that I was afraid that I was not bonding with my daughter Felicity, the one that's being held by Mary as we podcast right now. And it was very raw, it was very truthful, and it took a lot of guts to write. I'm not patting myself in the back, I just mean that it was hard to write, because I had to face a lot of truths and a lot of difficulties with the idea of not only having a second child, but having that second child be a girl. And I want to have this shameless plug at tallmomtinybaby.com because there are second-time dads out there like me that I feel like feel the same as me. And they need to know that it's okay if you feel like you are not bonding with your daughter or your son or your second or third or first child. It's okay. And guys, I'm not sure if they have a postpartum depression, but you can definitely have a certain kind of depression as it relates to your child, and maybe I'm going through it. I don't know. I'm not sure quite yet, but I do know that I'm worried that I haven't been bonding with my child. And I will say that the latest trip to Texas for our podcasting conference did help. And the reason why I'm bringing all of this up is because during this podcasting conference, we learned about the effect that we as podcasters can have on our listening audience. That even though you aren't saying anything to us back right now, we're talking for you. We're talking to you. And even though you may not have the courage to speak, we do. And we can have an effect on you. We can help transform your life if you allow us to.
We're all in this together.
We're all, Zac Efron. All in this together. No. But I wanted to say one thing, which is all of the messages and all of the responses that I got from you, the listeners, it really meant a lot. And it was very important. And I read them all. I read them every single word, every letter, and I read them all with tears in my eyes. Because you guys rock. And luckily I have the greatest wife on this entire planet within the history of humanity. And as much as we were told in our conference that we have and that we can have an effect on you, I just wanted to let you know, before I start to get crazy here, I wanted to let you know that you guys can have an effect on us too. And what you wrote and all the support that you gave me was very special. And I'm going to stop blubbering like an idiot. So my wife, please save me.
You are not an idiot. So if any of you want to read it, I didn't even know Blake had written this article until it was up. Just Google Tall Dad Confession. It'll be the first thing that comes up in Google, Tall Dad Confession. But it really actually rang true a lot for me as a mom. And a lot of the feelings that people can go through, whether it is postpartum depression or paternal postpartum depression. And that is what it's called. So actually, if you kind of are nervous that your significant other is going through some tough times, there's actually a website called postpartummen.com. Hmm. And I Googled this and found this out after I read Blake's article. But please take a look at it. And if you have any of the same feelings that Blake has been going through, let us know. Because as Blake said, we're all in this together. Actually, I said that. Actually, Zac Efron said that.
I know.
But really, you know, we are. We're all in this. And feeling overwhelmed and feeling sometimes scared or anxious is perfectly normal.
Should I even be vain enough to put the link on the episode site?
No, that's not vain.
No,
that's
not vain. Am I okay?
I'm so vain.
No, you're so vain.
I know, but I remixed it for you. Anyway,
yeah,
so
I'll put the link on the website address for this particular episode.
Yeah, so I think that would be helpful. All right. Well, thanks, guys. And thank you, Blake, for being honest.
Well, no, that's okay. That's my job. That's what I'm here for. As a reminder, guys, episode 29 of ParentCast is brought to you by Audible.com. Get a free, F-R-E-E audiobook download and 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/tallmommedia. There, you can find over 150,000 different titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. And today's choice that we have chosen for you as a free book is called The Leftovers by Tom Perata. And it's also another shameless plug a little bit, because you can listen to our podcast about the television show The Leftovers at thelivingreminders.com. That's thelivingreminders.com. And it's going into its second season. So please read The Leftovers. Get a hold of it. Watch the first season. Go watch the second season and listen to our other podcast called The Living Reminders at thelivingreminders.com. And enjoy the time. And if you want to get a hold of us on ParentCast, you can get us all of our handles off social media, the Facebook and the Twitter and the smoke signals and the Instagram. All of it is all ParentCast. You can also see us on ParentCastPodcast.com, where you find all of our great interviews, all the rest of our episodes. And then, what else, my love? ParentCast@gmail.com. That's what you can do. Reach us at as well. You ready to close out the show?
You got it.
All right, let's do it. So that's it, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much.
Yes, thank you for listening. This has been really, really great. Maybe we'll have to do a men's postpartum depression
episode. I think we should probably just do a postpartum depression episode altogether.
Well, it is needed, sadly. But you know what? We're free. We're funny. And we're better than therapy. You've been listening to ParentCast. And to be honest, we're not necessarily better than therapy. So if you do think that you have an issue, we are not therapists.
We're just more entertaining than therapy.
We should redo our intro.
No. We're better than therapy. We're more entertaining. We're funnier.
Your therapist is funny.
My therapist is like Caesar Flickerman in The Hunger Games.
That's amazing.
You know what we're still not doing?
What?
Closing out the show before the music ends.
I'm going to push stop right now.